Once more, we've come around to what is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Or today it could be Gate Sunday, but somehow it doesn't have quite the same ring. It happens every year on the fourth Sunday of Lent, Eastertide. Oops. Each year we hear the familiar and comforting words of the 23rd Psalm. And each year we have a gospel from the 10th chapter of John, but not always the same one. We have a three-year lectionary cycle, years A, B, and C. On this Sunday in year C, we hear the last part of this chapter. We hear, "My sheep know my voice." In year B, we have the middle part of John 10, the part that begins, "I am the good shepherd." And this year, year A, we hear, "I am the gate of the sheepfold." It's pretty clear, even in this portion of the chapter, that Jesus the Christ is the good shepherd as well as the gate of the sheepfold. Part of what Jesus is teaching here, calling himself the door, the gate, as it's usually translated, of the sheepfold, the place the sheep rest at night, is that he is a legitimate shepherd. He is genuine, bona fide, for real, reliable, and trustworthy. His message is, "I'm a return to the old school style of shepherd you think about when you recite Psalm 23. I'm an old school shepherd like David, the purported author of Psalm 23, who looked after his father's sheep. I'm an old school shepherd like Rachel, daughter of Laban, future wife of Joseph, sister of Leah, who looked after her father's sheep. I'm an old school shepherd, not like the shepherds had become in the first century, when instead of families looking after their own sheep, they hired people, usually, to watch over them. And they hired people who were not invested in the life and well-being of the sheep, because it was just a gig to them. They would run away when there was danger. They wouldn't stand up to lions and bears like David would. They wouldn't make sure the flocks were watered no matter what, like Rachel would. They would run away. They were thieves and bandits to begin with, which is why they were hired to do the stinky job of watching sheep. A lot had changed in shepherding, and Jesus is bringing it back to the old school way. He cares for the sheep because they belong to him. They belong to his father. He's not somebody else's hired hand. He is also, he teaches today, the one through whom the sheep go inside the sheepfold for protection at night, and the one through whom they go out of the sheepfold come morning to follow into good pasture out in the world to live and spend their days. It's a message of protection and provision and abundance. Jesus the Christ, the gate of the sheepfold and the good shepherd, protects us, watches over us, and accompanies us in our coming in and our going out. And not only protects and defends us, but leads us to places of life. Abundant life. What does that mean? Abundant life. Life more abundantly, he says, he's come to bring. Abundant life. Here are some things it is not. Abundant life is not about a gospel of prosperity or materialism, about accumulating more and more and more and calling oneself blessed and those who don't have enough as somehow doing something wrong. Abundant life is not about a cozy Jesus is my boyfriend situation. Just me and Jesus. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I've got mine. You get yours. I'm not worried if you do or don't. Abundant life is not individualism. Abundant life is a life of plenty, not excess, plenty, enoughness, enough time, enough space, enough of everything, enough resources for ourselves and enough to share, and enough trust that when we share what we have, it will somehow be multiplied in God's amazing grace and amazing ways. Abundant life is sharing provision and protection, following the example of our good shepherd, as the second letter from Peter says, the shepherd and guardian of our souls, and not becoming deluded that we are the shepherd, the protector, the provider. We are not the good shepherd. We are the sheep. Abundant life is life in community. It looks something like what is described in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The earliest Jesus followers experienced Christian community as a joyful blessing. They spent time together. They ate together. They shared what they had. And they welcomed new people all the time because it's a movement, not a club. We declare often in this place that everyone is welcome, and they are. We are happy to receive as Christ anyone and everyone who finds their way here. That is part of the hospitality made possible through the abundant life we have in and through Jesus the Christ. There's another part of that hospitality, though. Sometimes we become accustomed to being hosts and get a bit rusty on how to be guests. If you're the host, you're sort of the boss. If you're the guest, you're on somebody else's turf, in somebody else's space. Sometimes we need to accept invitations from others to enter their spaces. Abundant life in Christ gives us opportunities to accept invitations and cross over thresholds into places we have never been and places where we haven't been in a long time. Recently, some invitations have been given by St. Paul's to neighboring St. Peter's, 4 blocks farther south. Knowing that St. Peter's would not have a supply priest to lead services on Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, we formally invited St. Peter's with a hand-delivered hard copy letter, old school, inviting them to come and spend Holy Week with us. And some of them did. And recently, some invitations have been given by St. Peter's to St. Paul's. They invited me to help them make sure they had everything ready for Easter Sunday. They invited St. Paul's Altar Guild and me to come train up a new Altar Guild at St. Peter's. And in preparation for that, they invited St. Paul's folks to come help them sort out all their vestments and what we might call the holy hardware, all the stuff we use on the altar for Holy Communion. Does that sound like abundant life to you? When congregations separated in many ways for many years because of complex racial history that led the people who founded St. Peter's to leave St. Paul's in 1875 and build another Episcopal church 4 blocks farther south? Does that sound like the Holy Spirit might be up to something? When invitations are extended and accepted, in both directions. Something's going on. Yesterday, a group of St. Peter's and St. Paul's folks worked together and got to know each other better as we together assessed what could be let go of in all the stuff at St. Peter's and what was still useful and beautiful for prayer and worship. And before we started that work, we stood together in a circle in the back of the nave of St. Peter's. And even before I led us in prayer, I said, "Y'all, it's good to be here together, and it's a blessing to be able to do this work together. It's a blessing to be able to accept this invitation, and we are very, very clear that a couple of work days or a couple of services together do not fix everything that went on before. It's a long road of reconciliation, but what a joy and privilege to be able to take the first steps." Somebody say amen. Amen. After we prayed, we commenced sorting. And before we left, we set a date for the Altar Guild training when St. Paul's Altar Guild and I will meet the five St. Peter's folks who are preparing to serve in that ministry there. And we also made plans to celebrate the day of Pentecost together. I'll tell you more about that, but the short version is there's going to be one service on May 28th, which is the day of Pentecost. It's also the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. One service at St. Peter's, beginning with a procession from St. Paul's to St. Peter's. We also started talking about what would it be like to resume a practice from years ago, I'm told, of celebrating the feast day of our patron saints, Saints Peter and Paul. Their shared feast day is June 29th. What might it be like to celebrate that feast of our patrons together again? How could we do that? What good news is in that coming together? Yesterday, in the midst of sorting vestments at St. Peter's, I was going through this big cabinet. And when we talk about sorting and going through stuff at St. Peter's, we have expertise in that at St. Paul's because since I arrived not quite 2 years ago, we have literally cleared out tons of stuff that we didn't need and weren't using. We were happy to deploy our expertise in laboring together with them. I was digging through this cabinet, and there was all kinds of stuff piled up there. I have no judgment because I found all kinds of stuff piled up there when I got here. Church people tend to be pack rats. I'm not sure what that's about. If we have enough, we don't have to hold on to everything, but that's another sermon for another day. Meanwhile, in the back of this cabinet, here's an alb, and here's a chasuble, and in the very, very back, there was this rectangular object, and it was facing the wall, the back of the cabinet. And I pulled it out and turned it around, and what do you imagine it was? An icon of Saints Peter and Paul together, facing toward one another, holding together a church. It gave me a chill. It gave me another chill just to tell you about it just then. And I walked out into the nave of St. Peter's where Mr. Calvin Allen, senior warden of St. Peter's, and some St. Peter's people and some St. Paul's people were working together. And I said, "Y'all, look what I found." And Calvin said, "It's a sign." I believe it is. It's a sign that reconciliation is possible. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is still stirring stuff up. It's a sign that if we listen to the voice of that shepherd, we may find ourselves reunited with some other sheep who are also part of the one flock under the one shepherd. As I've said many times and will continue to say, ours is a mission in this place of restoration, restoring beautiful, iconic buildings, yes, and restoring relationships within the congregation, in the wider community of Key West, and with that congregation who came out of St. Paul's 148 years ago. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They follow him by following his voice. God grant us wisdom, grace, and power to walk together as sheep of one flock under one shepherd, one good shepherd, even Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.